This is the Evil Never Dies podcast with Brett and Carl. This podcast may contain adult themes, violence, and strong language. Listener discretion is advised.
The Evil Never Dies podcast.
Hey, we are the girls from the Unfreaking Believable podcast. I'm Betsy.
I'm author J.B. Kane, but you can call me Jen.
And I'm Jenny.
And twice a month, we will bring you guests, authors, actors, and everyday heroes who are going to share their moments with you that made a difference in their lives.
And it's all because of that one inciting incident. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, and Audible. You can also follow us on Instagram or TikTok. And you can visit our website at www.ufbpodcast.com.
We believe that life is infinitely stranger than fiction, stranger than anything the mind can invent. You might even say, it's unfreaking believable.
Welcome back to the Evil Never Dies podcast. I'm Brett here with Carl, episode 244.
Happy Easter, and we're joined by the Bad Bunny and Zombie Bunny this week.
Oh, where'd you find the Zombie Bunny? Have you had him?
He came from Spirit.
Oh.
Actually, he came from Spirit after they closed. I ordered him in the mail.
Huh.
They ran out of him on the discount day.
It's Easter. Got the big Easter egg hunt.
Whoopie effing do. I'm about as excited for that as I am nothing. I am excited because I got my Texas Rangers World Series hat today. And my Rangers World Series shirt. Look at that. We're the champs.
Yep.
And so, yeah,
motherfucker stood outside for 3 hours to wait in line for them, and you went and got it in 10 minutes at fucking the sporting goods store.
I got it in 5 minutes, I think. It was less than that, even.
Yeah, 20 minutes to drive there, and
no hat on the show.
No hat on the show.
Nah. We'll put it on him.
Leatherface is, well, Leatherface is from Texas, so.
He is, but there you go. He's got his hat on now.
All right.
Ed is stuck against the facade wall I built behind him. There's too much glow, so I put a hammer book there to block out everything. So I can't actually put a hat on Leatherface. He's just fake wearing it. Linda Blair's looking the other direction tonight, so sorry.
What'd you do? Did you nudge her when you're back there making a drink?
No, I had her face facing toward everything, so she'll scare everybody tomorrow for this damn Easter egg hunt.
Oh, I don't know if Juliet will want to come in. I'll bring her through. I'll come through with her.
We got a lot of more stuff on the wall over here. You can't see it on camera, but look at all that new stuff.
What's the Halloween 2 thing?
That's a action figure toy.
Oh, is that the one with the different heads and the different stuff attachments to it?
Yeah, it's also got Loomis. That's why I got it.
Oh, it's cool.
Yeah, I've had it forever. It's just been sitting in the fucking floor. So I decided to hang it on the wall for a few weeks. I switched that little spot around.
I don't even think you can get them anymore.
Don't know.
Is that a Nika?
Probably doesn't say on the box, but I'm sure it is.
Cause for like the set with the Halloween 2 set with Michael Loomis and Jamie Lee, They want like $150 for the set.
I'm sure some idiot will pay it.
Well, if I had the money, I sure as fuck would.
I found this.
Although I don't have any room.
I ain't buying no more shit. I'm done.
But I did do some rearranging. I finally got Art the Clown up. And I moved my Phantasm stuff. And I got me an American flag on the ceiling. I'm being patriotic.
No, I would replace that with a Texas flag if it were me.
I'm looking for one. They're out of stock. They must be a hot item.
They are a hot item.
Yeah, I was going to, and then I'm going to turn it the other way and I'm going to face them long ways next to each other. So, yeah, even though I'm not a born and raised Texan, I've been here long enough where, you know.
You claim it anyway.
I claim it anyway. I denounce my birthright of Illinois. So.
Well, it's Easter weekend.
Yep, Easter weekend. Busy, busy, busy with the kids.
Was going to do a continuation of my Motley Crue marathon, but honestly, we just didn't have time. So we'll revisit the crew in a couple weeks. Maybe we'll actually do Shout at the Devil together.
We already did it.
No, we didn't.
Well, I did it for a midweek then.
Well, then I'm going to redo it without you. If you did it without me, then fuck you. I'll redo it.
I think I asked you and you said you couldn't do it.
I didn't say. I was probably busy.
Yeah, you're busy.
Anything you do on the midweek without me, I have full liberty to redo it again.
Okay.
That's
whatever.
The new rules.
That's whatever you want to do, man.
That's the new rules because you're stealing a lot of good albums.
Stealing a lot of good albums.
Do your fucking Cookie Monster growl shit on the midweeks.
I've done it. I did.
Nobody wants to hear that shit.
I did the new Cannibal Greg, Corpse, maybe. And I got like 6 fucking views on that, man. That's
nobody
a good,
wants to hear Cannibal
Corpse. Good fucking album, though, man.
No.
It is.
I'm redoing Shout at the Devil. Screw you. That and the 93 album are their two best.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna do more Motley Crue stuff here in the next month or so.
I've only done Too Fast for Love and Shout at the Devil, so.
Well, I'll redo both of them without you.
your view on it?
Mm-hmm. Why not?
I'm sure it's a little bit, probably better view than mine.
You don't like Shout at the Devil?
Well, yeah, I'm just saying. Yeah, I'm just saying.
You gave Generation Swine a 1, you said.
Yeah. No, that's. They should have kept Karabi. I've said that all week.
Telling you, if Karabi had been on the album, it wouldn't have sounded much different. Just been Karabi singing against versus Vince.
But I think his voice, with the style of songs that they did on that album, I think Karabi's voice would have went a lot.
Well, Karabi's voice is on the album, actually, that they just wouldn't give him credit.
Didn't he? They did do one song they gave him credit for?
I don't remember now. I already done that. We're moving on.
Moving on.
We're doing an Easter movie this week.
Easter movie, huh?
Yeah, we're doing an Easter movie. It's called Funeral Home.
AKA Cries in the Night.
So if anybody finds any poetic in Funeral Home for Easter, then I guess I'm a evil, satanic overlord. I don't know.
Yeah, this is a 1980 Canadian film. It came out in Canada as Cries in the Night.
It does have pastel colors on the Blu-ray. See that? It's all pastel.
Yeah, it is.
You got your purple, blue, and your big orangey yellow. Yeah.
I don't know why it shows a graveyard, because in the whole movie there was maybe one shot of a graveyard.
They're in the graveyard.
Yeah. I guess.
It's an Easter movie.
It's
an Easter movie.
All right. Directed by William, I don't know, since it's Canada, it's F-R-U-E-T. Is it Fruet or Fruet or I don't know. So
I don't know. They didn't ever mention the director's name in any of the extras that I watched.
Well, he's more of a playwright for television. So most known for Wedding in White in 1972 and this. So anyway, screenplay by Ida Nelson, produced by Barry Allen and William Fruette.
Do you have any information on the producer? Because I got a story to tell you.
Okay, tell it about the Barry Allen.
Yes, they actually owned movie theaters in Canada and drive-ins and actual theaters. And they decided they wanted to get into the movie, the filmmaking business. So they actually produced this movie.
Oh, okay.
So I thought that was a cool note. They actually had the son of the original guy on the Blu-ray talking, and he gave a lot of, you know, just kind of interesting stuff. It's not a lot, nothing people probably want to hear repeated, just sort of about how his family was in the movie business and they made a movie. So sort of a cool footnote. And it was the first, I think, big film that Canadian Film Board wasn't a part of.
Huh, okay.
They budgeted all themselves, so.
So they didn't have no help from the government.
No.
All right. Cinematography by Mark Irwin. Edited by Ralph Brunjes. Brunjes. Music by Jerry Fielding. What do you think of the score on this?
It's an interesting score, actually.
Yeah, it started out good, and then there was a couple of parts where it was like almost like 70s porn music. Dude.
Yeah, but that actually was released like in 2011, but it's nowhere to be found now.
Oh, really?
No.
Yeah.
I would have probably bought that thing just because I've been collecting some weird scores here lately.
It's different. It's very different.
It's different for sure.
It's all over the board, like different sounds and stuff. So,
yeah.
It wasn't bad. I was sort of impressed with the score.
Yeah, I found it impressive.
All right. It was distributed by Frontier Amusements Motion Picture Marketing. And that must be the same people that own the movie theaters.
It is. That's them.
All right. It was released under the name Cries in the Night, October 3rd, 1980. And running time is 93 minutes. Country of Origin.
Longer.
Huh? I know.
It longer.
It did. Country of origin is, of course, Canada. English language. Didn't say what I couldn't find nowhere where the budget was. Maybe on this stuff I can't find for the budget, I need to hit Jimbo up for his IMDb Pro.
You could.
Because he sent me the thing who did the special effects on the, what was it, Leprechaun, I think?
I think it was Leprechaun.
You were saying I couldn't find nowhere who did the special effects, so I think he sent me the stats on that. So, but anyway, it made $1.3 million at the box office, and I believe that's in Canadian money.
Yeah.
So, all right, Carl, why don't you go over the plot of Funeral Home, a.k.a.
Cries in the Night. Okay, the movie starts with how old do you think she was?
I'd say probably 17, 18.
Yeah, about 17, 18-year-old girl arrives and at the bus stop, and there's nobody there to pick her up. So turns out she's going to stay with her grandmother, who is now running a bed and breakfast. And guess what used to be? A funeral home. But unfortunately, her husband, who was the mortician or the undertaker or whatever word you want to use, they said he was dead at the beginning, but
he disappeared.
He disappeared. Well, we later find out he disappeared, but he's not there anymore. So to make money, she turns the funeral home into a bed and breakfast. So most people don't realize it's a funeral home. And she tells everybody to stay out of the cellar, stay out of the cellar. Yeah. That's because there's a bunch of coffins down there, I guess, and embalming fluid. So she's there to help grandma for the summer, I guess, get this bed and breakfast going, and encounters many guests who appear at the funeral home and many more guests who mysteriously disappear.
Yeah.
I don't know where they went. Thus, the premise of Funeral Home, which Cries in the Night was actually a pretty good name too for it, even though that's a Wasp song.
Oh, I wonder if it was named after this movie.
I don't think so. I thought that for a brief second. I'm like, surely Blackie Lawless didn't name a song after this movie.
You probably don't even know this fucking movie exists.
Probably not, yeah.
All right. Oh, here we go. Here's the budget. $1,431,780. So I don't think it even made its money back. That's Canadian money. For sure. Yeah, they didn't even make their money back. They lost about 500 grand.
Yeah.
Oh, let's see here. It was filmed from July 23rd, 1979 to September 12th, 1979. Shot on location in several cities in Ontario, including Ellore, Guelph, Markham, and Toronto. The building that stood in for the Chalmers funeral home was actually not a funeral home. It was a spacious mansion with gables located in the Razor Road in Markham, Ontario. It really looked like a funeral home, though.
It really did, yeah.
From the outside, at least, it could have been a funeral home. Very fucking creepy, for sure.
Yeah.
And they also filmed episodes of the 1990s version of Goosebumps there.
Yeah, that's a cool little trivia note.
Yeah. And what's, I guess it was called the Odell House. And it was in Night of the Living Dummy episode, which the director Fruette actually co-produced. All right, let's see here. They first released it in Eastern Canada in opening in Kitchener, Ontario, October 3rd, 1980. Lots of small theaters and drive-ins, like you said. And
probably owned by the producer.
Exactly. Let's see. When they came to release it in the United States, I don't know why it took them so long. Maybe they couldn't get
distribution.
Yeah, they couldn't get find nobody to distribute it. Oh, let's see. They released it under the alternative title Funeral Home. Opened in Salt Lake City, Philadelphia, Kansas City, and Chicago. And then they re-released it in Canada with this revised title also.
I like the Funeral Home title better. It just seems to fit. Just me.
Yeah, that's between the 1.3 million is between the U.S. and Canada, so.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not too good, but I guess for this film, I guess they almost made their money back. I guess they're not doing too bad.
Yeah.
All right, let's go over the cast here. First, we got Kay Hawtrey as Maude Chalmers. She's the grandmother.
Who did not like the director.
Yeah, they fought through the whole movie. She thought she thought she was the boss of the film, I guess.
Yeah, she did.
She thought she was in charge. So they butted heads the whole time. Next, we got Leslie Donaldson as Heather. She was the teenage girl, the granddaughter. Barry Morse as Mr. Davis. He was one of the people staying at the bed and breakfast. Dean Garbay as Rick Yates. And he was the kid that actually picked the girl up as she was walking.
Yeah, she was walking from the bus stop where nobody came and got her.
And they ended up sort of like having sort of like a fling.
Yeah, sort of dating. That seemed like more.
Stephen E. Miller as Billy Hibbs. He was like the mentally challenged, like
slow adult. Yeah.
Yeah. He worked in the, he did odd jobs for the grandmother and was like caretaker of the cemetery and all that. And stayed in the barn. Stayed in the barn.
Possible bad guy. We don't know.
Possible. Alf Humphreys is Joe Yates. He played the, he's Rick Yates' older brother, and he's a cop, the one of the deputies in town. Next, we got Peggy Mahan as Flory. Harvey Afkin as Harry Browning. Robert Warner as the sheriff. Jack Van Evra as James Chalmers. Les Ruby as Sam. Doris Petrie as Ruby. Bill Lake as Frank. And they were like sort of like a weird couple, like swingers almost, sort of like
you. Sort of like that, yeah.
Yeah, and they were like partying. They were all loud and stuff. And
Grandma didn't like that.
Yeah, she didn't like that. She wanted them out of the fucking, out of there. She was like, I want you out of there. And he's like, I paid for the whole weekend. The weekend ends tomorrow.
Grandma was a very religious sort of lady.
Yeah. Brett Matthew Davison as young Rick. Christopher Crabb as Teddy. Robert Craig as Barry Oakes. Linda Dalby as Linda. Gerard Jordan as Pete. And Eleanor Beecroft as Shirley. And that is the cast for Cries in the Night, a.k.a. what? What is it?
Funeral Home.
Funeral Home, that's it.
You already forgot.
Oh, shit.
Where are we going next here? There's not a lot to discuss on this movie. It's
no, such there's a not.
Low-budget sort of underground movie.
Yeah. When you said you'd bought this, and I looked it up, and it was on Tubi, and I started watching. I worked. This was a couple of months ago when you told me about this, and I started watching it. I was like, "Man, that looks like shit." Tubi's got a really shitty copy of it.
Yeah, apparently, there's never been a good copy released until this one.
Who put that out?
Green Factory.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they restored it. They got all kinds of special features that they added. Hold on a minute. It's so dark in here you can't see nothing. Yeah, that's better. So let's go over this Blu-ray before we go any further, because that's all what right. Brought this movie to the forefront.
Okay.
So it came out this year. I guess people have been asking for it forever. It was never on DVD. It was just a bad VHS copy. So Scream Factory listened and they put it out. They added audio commentary with all kinds of people. I don't know who they all. There's an isolated score selection. There's interview with the musical historian, not the actual whatever guy, soundtrack guy. Audio interviews with
hold on here. The isolated soundtrack, that's where they play the movie with just the soundtrack,
with just the soundtrack. Yeah,
well, that would be sort of cool.
Yeah,
that'd be
there's an interview with the director of photography, which was Mark Irvin, and he did a really good job talking about the movie. They feature called Dead and Breakfast. It's an interview with the art director and the set assistant editor. And they were two older ladies, of course, by now. And they really gave a lot of good details about, like, in the cellar, there's a bunch of, looks like preserved fruit. Well, they actually put like some apples and stuff, different fruits in a jar, and they didn't realize that if it was going to rot. And I guess midway through the movie, these jars started exploding and blowing up.
Oh,
so,
shit.
So
really,
but they really put a lot of love into the set, you know, being this really wasn't a funeral home. They tried to make it look as much as they could, and they did a good job.
Yeah, I noticed them. They must have changed them right before they filmed the scenes, because
I think they did.
Because they were, you could tell they were apples in them jars for sure.
There's another feature, family owned and operated. That's the interview with Brian Allen, president of Premier Drive-In Theaters. That's the son of our producer, and he gives a lot of cool little tidbits of family information. Nothing worth really mentioning. If you want to watch it, it's on the DVD. There's they actually went to the film location and film where the house was, and I guess they did a total restoration of this thing. There are some bad parts of it where the color looks off, but I'm gonna tell you what, this thing looks excellent for a movie that this low budgeted. Scream Factory might be the movie of the year from them, as far as just putting out that just probably looked like shit and they cleaned up the best they could.
Oh, it looked bad on Tubi, dude. I could hardly watch it.
Well, there are parts of it where it sort of just kind of greens out. And yeah. I'm like, yeah, they probably couldn't get that.
Lots of really dark scenes, too.
Yeah. Oh, they did a really good job. And they brought this movie back to life, is what I'll say. I mean, this Scream Factory just goes above and beyond all the time. So, like the movie or not, this is a damn 5-star Blu-ray release. So, if you just want to take a swing at something, I would suggest buying it, you know, just for the special features, the isolated score. I was impressed. Okay. I mean, honestly, the Blu-ray is better than the movie. That's just the simple fact. It's a low-budget 1980s movie, but damn, they made it look good.
Yeah, they do good work, man, for sure. Restoring their stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Where's my trivia? There's not much trivia.
No, there's not a lot.
Was there any interviews with any of the people that were played in the movie?
No, they didn't have any of the actors. It's just the set director and... I don't even know where these actors are now, honestly. Who knows?
I don't think I've ever seen them in anything else, for sure. But a couple of them did some like small parts in some pretty notable movies. In an interview with Leslie Donaldson, the teenage girl, she always thought this film was a cross between Little Red Riding Hood and Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho.
Psycho is exactly what this movie reminds me of. You stole my thunder. I was going to mention that. Very Psycho-like in nature.
And she also said that this was quite a popular cult classic in Mexico. So I guess it was
interesting.
Pretty big in Mexico.
Look, we got.
Ooh, it's a chocolate bunny.
He's fake.
Oh, he's fake?
Yeah, but he sure looks real, don't he?
Yeah, he did. I'd take a bite out of him for sure. I'd eat that fucking ear quicker than shit.
I'm going to screw with trick-or-treaters with that tomorrow. I called them trick-or-treaters.
They're egg hunters.
They're trick-or-treaters. Okay, back to what little trivia we got.
The building of Chalmers' funeral home consisted of a long house with gables, later used by, I already covered this. Fucking repeating myself. Goosebump shit. See how good I'm fucking researching this bullshit?
There's not a lot to research, guys. There's just not a lot out there. The best is listen to these commentary tracks, and I don't want to repeat that for verbatim. You can listen to them if you buy the damn Blu-ray. Scream Factory's going to have to start giving us a cut, I think.
Film's French title is Le Cri de Ténèbres.
Ténèbres. I know that name.
The Cry of Darkness.
There's a movie, Ténèbres.
Yes, we covered that.
We did. I didn't like it very well.
A few episodes ago. Three cast members all appeared in the classic slasher Black Christmas. Jack Van Evra, Les Ruby, and Robert Warner. I think they all played cops.
Gotcha.
There's a lot of cops in that movie. Scene where they hoist the car out of the quarry. The engine is obviously missing because the hood's gone. There's no motor.
You know why?
Why?
I'll tell you why. So that quarry they used, I guess in Canada, even in the 80s and the late 70s, they were very environmental friendly. And they said, y'all can't throw a car with an engine and gas and everything into the quarry. So they basically stripped the car down to nothing and chunked it, you know, in there. And the, what was he that it was interviewed?
The special effects or whatever.
The first assistant director. That's who we had. He said that they just wrote it into the script that the engine fell out and then the water, which sort of makes sense, I guess. So yeah. they intentionally showed it.
See, you got your thunder back.
Huh?
You got your thunder back.
I got my thunder back.
Yeah, you said I took your thunder. Well, you just got your thunder back by adding that little tidbit.
You're confusing me now, dude.
Oh.
What's he talking about?
What is he talking about?
I don't know. You ruined the show now with everything. I don't even know what I was saying now.
Oh.
You just took my thunder away.
For a second time?
Yeah, now I'm blah.
Oh, shit.
What else you got it?
That's about it, really.
Okay, well, let's cover what we think of the movie.
You go ahead.
Why do I have to go first?
You go first.
Now, I always influence you when I go first.
Well, okay.
Because I know I'm going to like this movie better than you, so.
Probably.
I think you should go first, because I'll influence you and you'll change your grade.
Okay. I think I may have seen this movie back at the drive-in when it came out. I'm not for sure. It seemed awful familiar. But it gives me a don't look in the basement sort of vibe.
Yeah, don't go in the cellar.
If you've ever seen that movie, it's sort of along the lines of the same premise, sort of, but
there is a lot of psycho sort of influences here, I believe, too.
Yeah, for sure. Especially at the end.
Don't know that that's a bad thing.
No, but it probably actually made the movie.
Yeah.
Very cliffhanger. You don't know
what happens.
Yeah, you don't actually know who is doing all this, and it ends up being the least person you would expect, probably. And it was a very dark movie. I think they could have lightened it up a little bit, maybe.
Well, if you had watched it on Blu-ray, you might not have had as big of problems with it, honestly. Tubi had a shitty copy, it sounds like.
Yeah, it was fucked up too, dude. It was like hum bars rolling up through the screen and shit. It almost made me wonder if it was my TV doing that, you know? Because usually on a recorded piece of video, you know, like that, you don't see that kind of interference, you know?
Yeah.
It's weird. But it was through the whole movie. They must just got a bad copy of it to throw out there or something. So, but anyway, yeah, very dark. It was okay. I think it had a good plot and stuff. It was sort of cheesy, you know, it was the 80s. I get that. But
so what you giving this? How many tombstones, or no, let me rephrase that. How many Easter bunny eggs are you giving this movie, since this is our Easter film?
Man, I don't think I can go no higher than a 2.5.
That's higher than I thought you would give it.
Yeah. Just for so the plot and all that.
I figured it gave it about a one.
It wasn't that bad.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and give this thing three Easter eggs, which is my average. Which the only thing I didn't like, it started out really slow, and I lost interest within the first 15 minutes to the point where I was about to turn it off. And then it got interesting, and I started following the plot and like, well, shit, what's going on here? Sort of overlooked the fact that it was, you know, sort of a low budget film. The acting wasn't so great. Maybe the acting was good, because I think some of them people really were freaking Canadian hillbillies in it. So
yeah, for sure.
I got into the plot of it, and I sort of guessed who the bad guy was. Yeah, that was pretty obvious, I think.
That's one thing that screwed me up. I didn't think it was going to be her. I thought it was going to be somebody else.
Spoiling shit, you asshole.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
He's an asshole, folks. He likes to spoil movies. We're not a movie spoiling place. If we're going to spoil, we tell you ahead of time. And Brett always has to screw up and spoil something.
Hey, there's more than one her. I said her. So.
Yeah. It could be a he. It could have been a he that's dressed up like a she. You could never know.
You'll have to watch.
Anyway, yeah, I think this movie's actually pretty damn good. I would say I was impressed with it. It definitely has its shortcomings, but I'm glad I own it, actually. I proudly add it to the collection. Better than Tenebrow or whatever the fuck. I need to give you that or sell it at Movie Trading Company. I don't want to keep that movie.
I thought you gave me a copy of it.
I think I did give it to you.
I think you had it on DVD.
Since this is Tenebrow and what was it, French?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's my take. I thought it was actually a pretty surprisingly well done movie for its time frame.
I think I was just more pissed off because it was a shitty version of it.
You know what, Brett? Scream Factory. It might be worth it for that isolated score.
Yeah, might be. Yeah.
I'm going to get hold of the Scream Factory and tell them I'm promoting the shit out of their crap. They should at least give me some,
comp some movies.
Or me preview things and review them before they come out.
Yeah, that would be fucking awesome. Email them, man.
I've promoted them guys more than anybody on this damn show, including our own shit, I think. So much praise to them guys for the work they do.
Yeah, they do.
They're keeping horror movies alive, man.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, that's all I've got.
Well, other movies too, the Shout Factory part too. They're putting a bunch of stuff out.
They do. They put out a lot of good stuff that you would normally. Hell, I got JFK from them because Warner Brothers didn't want to re-release it in 4K, so they took it and did a great job with it. I'm looking at it over there right now. I have a weird corner.
I've seen that.
It's all fucking, you know, horror movies and Draculas and werewolves and Ouija boards, and right in the middle of it, there's JFK. I guess he sort of belongs. The poor, you know, that assassination that we still talk about all these years later was almost like a horror movie for, you know.
Yeah,
I still say that when Kennedy died, this country just went straight to hell and never recovered.
Yes, that's probably the truth.
Yeah.
Now the
big fan of John F. Kennedy. I really am.
And the people that unalived him are really fucking us up right now.
Well, just remember, his nephew's running for president. I'm not endorsing anybody. I'm just throwing that out there, man.
Yeah, if they'd let him on a ballot.
The media is not letting Robert Kennedy Jr. be seen or heard. So that should tell you something out there, folks. We're not going political. I'm just giving facts. Whether I like him or not, and some things I probably don't like about him, they're not letting him be out in the open when you got these other two, whatever you want to call them.
Every other presidential candidate has, Secret Service protection.
They wouldn't give it to
him.
Nope.
Not him. So,
sometimes when you're rebels, you got to fight the power.
It's just he's done so much good. he's just so, done so much good work with like the environment and stuff, you know.
Well, if he would have picked Aaron Rodgers as vice president, I think he would have been all over TV, but he chose not to, so
it's gonna be an interesting year for sure.
Yeah.
And yeah, we got the eclipse coming up. We're all gonna
die. I don't really give a shit about the eclipse.
There's a lot of people freaking out about it, dude.
Well, they all the conspiracy theorists say the government's gonna try something, which is stupid as fuck. The reason why they keep saying shit in this area is because all these motherfuckers are coming from all over the country and possibly the world to Texas to watch this stupid eclipse that lasts 7 minutes. That's what's going to affect the infrastructure, is all these people here.
Yeah,
especially
dude,
like in Ennis and places, you know, smaller towns.
From the Texas border north to Waco, there's expected 2 million people to be here.
And everybody, all the conspiracy theorists are, oh, well, the government's up to something. No, they're not. There's going to be too many people here watching a stupid eclipse.
Yeah.
I even think I'm going to go outside and look at it. Remember that last eclipse we had out in the haunted house and just everything looked kind of freaky for a minute?
Well, like for the last week, everything's been looking freaky like that, I think. The sky and the sun and everything.
Well, I don't know.
It's just all been weird for the last week.
Well, there's also the Devil's Comet or something running by the sun, so.
Yeah, you're supposed to be able to see that during the
eclipse.
Totality, yeah. It's supposed to be on the left side of it, I think.
Well, the problem is, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, there's still going to be so much light pollution, you're not going to see much anything, except it's going to get, they said it's going to look like dusk or dawn. It's not going to be total darkness, even.
Yeah.
Fuck the eclipse. I don't give a shit, man. They made me look at an eclipse when I was in like the third grade. They made us like have a stupid. Like,
did you
like
make that
shoebox?
Yeah.
Yeah, shoebox, and poked a hole in it. And I'm like, I remember as a little kid, I'm like, this is like the dumbest thing I've ever seen. And they're like, oh no, you won't see this again until 2024. I'm like, well, okay.
Oh shit, that's funny.
Now the Dark Hour's running a solar eclipse haunted house the weekend before.
Yeah.
I guess it's going to be a total dark out. I don't know.
That would sort of be cool.
So, that's all I got for this evening.
Well, that ain't all I got.
What do you... Oh, yeah, we got a couple more things. There's one thing. Jimbo, Kyle.
Yeah, we got to do that after we're done here.
Yeah, but we're going to talk about it now.
Yeah.
It's... How many years? 50,
5 years.
50-year anniversary for them guys.
Yeah.
So, shout out.
We're going to do a little thing for them after we get off here.
We're doing it for them right now, too. So, yeah. Congratulations.
We're doing a little more personalized one after we get
Well, we're doing one right now. So, be cool.
But
you're being mean.
I'm not being mean.
Thanks to both of you guys for everything y'all have done.
Yeah.
Jimbo, you've really... sort of been our guiding light through a lot of the stuff, learning this.
My ape brother.
Yeah, his brother in apehood there with Brett. So congratulations,
it was funny
you guys.
It was funny, the first Planet of the Apes one we did, he had his fucking Chewbacca jammies on. It was fucking
did.
Fucking love that guy.
So I think you got a contest?
Yeah.
Are we giving away this?
Gonna give away something.
Well, shit, I just dropped the gift. It's broke now.
A few months ago, we had a guest on, Chris Menta from the Bandis Corporate. And I got some stuff from him. And we're gonna give away a t-shirt.
Oh, wow.
There's the front. If you're listening, you can't see it, so you're gonna have to come on the YouTube to check it out. And here's the back right there. It's an extra large. So if you're a fat ass like me, it's not going to fit
extra large shirts.
Huh?
I wear extra large shirts,
but you're not fat.
I'm pretty fat in the stomach, but I still wear extra large shirts.
But anyway,
I wasn't in a regular shirt.
The way we're going to do this. Go subscribe. If you're already subscribed, If you're not subscribed, yeah, to YouTube. If you're already subscribed or not subscribed, subscribe and take a screenshot where I can see that you're subscribed and send that screenshot to evilneverdiespod@gmail.com. And I'm gonna do this.
Let's run this a week.
So
I say let's run it for at least a couple episodes. We need to talk about it at the beginning of the episode.
Okay.
Yeah, let's run it for the midweek, and then I don't know, maybe next Sunday or
I'll talk about it. We'll do it too. This episode, the midweek, and next week's episode.
Okay, and we'll talk about it the midweek. Do it first and at the very front.
That'll give everybody plenty of time then.
Yeah, we want to give people a chance here.
That'll give them almost 3 weeks. So
yeah.
So if you're a new listener or viewer, listeners even for sure, just subscribe. Even if you don't watch or listen on there, if you're just a listener and listen to it on your podcaster, then plus we're trying to get to 500 subscribers so we can go live.
Yeah, we need to do that before Texas Frightmare Weekend.
Yeah,
we're probably going to have more giveaways coming up.
Yep, for sure.
We may do some only on Facebook. I don't know. We're going to have different ways to win some stuff coming up.
Exactly.
Maybe a Facebook contest. We'll do this one. We'll have several ways to, and we need to push to 500 so we can be live at Texas Frightmare.
Well, we can go live on a computer right now, but we can't go live with a mobile device.
I have a real computer. I don't have a fucking laptop anymore. I've got a laptop down there, but it don't turn on.
Well,
actually, I got an Apple laptop. It might turn on enough to do it. So I'll test that out tomorrow.
Well, we can go live with a laptop but we can't with a mobile device until we hit 500.
Okay. Well, we're going to push for 500. I may give away a movie here at some point. I got a lot. I'm going to start getting rid of stuff. So we may start doing more contests.
Carl, even sign it for you.
Sign what?
Whatever you give away.
I'll do. Somebody wants 8x10. I'll autograph it and send it out. I don't give a shit.
In your demon mask. That'd be a good picture. I don't have a
demon mask anymore.
You got the picture though of the demon.
Yeah, I've got the old blue demon mask still. I just don't have the new blue demon mask. The blue demon's dead anyway.
Yeah.
I proclaim that night that character was dead and he's never come back.
Maybe we can make him a prop.
No, we're gonna leave the mask where it is. It's a relic. Maybe I've still got the old silicone one that broke in half. Do you want that? I'll let you have it. You can do whatever you want with it.
And we can make a prop with it.
It's in the closet in there somewhere.
He might look cool in the glow in the dark room.
You could get fake eyeballs and shit for those masks now.
Yep. But anyway, like and subscribe and take a screenshot and also I got to mention too, this is only for US viewers and listeners because it is going to cost way more to ship overseas. Canada? Than
what about Canada?
Canada, I can do Canada.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not much more than US. So but I'm sorry, but it would cost more to ship it than it's worth, you know? So
our viewer in Portugal, shit out of luck.
I'm sorry. I'm broke.
That's all we got for this week.
All right, everybody.
You got a contest. We got more coming. Congratulations to Jimbo and Kyle for their fifth year.
Yeah, for sure. And Art Toast and ADZ, for sure. So he puts out some good stuff, man. For sure. I only listen to a few podcasts. I'm pretty loyal to just a few, and they're one of them for sure. So,
all right. Well, that's going to wrap it up for the week. Finally, I've been trying to wrap this up for 30 minutes. It feels like no more, Bubba. I'm cutting you off.
All right.
So check us on social medias. Do the contest, like and subscribe, send it to the, what's that email address again?
evilneverdiespod@gmail.com.
There you go.
It's in every
it's in every link we have.
Yes. So yeah. So all right, everybody. Thanks for watching.
I hope you had a happy Easter by the time you watch this.
Exactly. Deviled eggs. Deviled eggs. I'm gonna make a shit ton. And I wouldn't want to be any of my coworkers Monday.
You're such a sick ass. I remember when Richard used to say that, like, Brett, why do you do that to people?
All right, okay, everybody.
We're done. Stay evil. Goodbye.
He was our friend. He was a gas steer, just like all the others. But I guess so.
Hi.
Hi, where's your swimsuit?
Got it on.
Well, I gotta go home and I gotta pick mine up.
Okay, I think I have it all. If we come up with anything, we'll contact you, Mr. Price. Thank you.
All right, are you going to tell me you're going to sit there smirking all day?
We got another one. A traveling salesman by the name of Harry Browning. He was supposed to have been through here last weekend, and he hasn't been heard of since.
So the guy's a salesman. Maybe he went out to another town.
That was his boss. He was supposed to be back at work Monday morning, and the last time they heard from him was 5 days ago when he telephoned from here.
Hey, Pete! What do you say? How you doing? Hi, Linda.
Wow, if it isn't the two lovebirds.
Hi, Linda. Have you been in the water yet?
Are you kidding? Linda going swimming and get her bathing suit wet?
No way!
Oh, isn't he a big tickle?
Come on, I want a picture of your beautiful butt. It's from my locker door.
Why don't you buy yourself a picture of Farrah Fawcett?
What's the matter?
It's Linda. She dove in right after you. She hasn't even surfaced yet.
What?